right. Well, let's start with your character, Captain Renard on Grimm, Nick's boss. What was your first thought when you read the script and saw that this was going to be a police drama that took a dark twist on fairy tales?
I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was an interesting take, and I knew that if done right, and consequently we have the right people to do it, that it would be quite successful, and in producing great entertainment. But I wasn't sure what to think of the captain at first. In the pilot, he's not featured very much, and there's just that great twist at the end, which gave me the instinct that it was probably going to be something quite interesting as it develops, and I was reassured that it would be by, the producers. So I definitely saw the potential, and I still see it, and I think it's going to be great as it evolves from episode to episode.
Yeah, and I think we all, when we watched the first episode and we saw that you were involved with the girl that was attempting to kill Nick's aunt, and we all kind of sat and wondered, what are your true intentions? And we learned from your biography that your character is descended from a powerful line of Grimm royalty, but we don't know much else. So the question is, whose side is your character really on? Do they give you a background on your character far enough in advance that you use that to shape how you portray your character, or do they only give you little bits at a time?
A very sort of broad background on the character was given to me. But such is the case with episodics. You kind of live from order to order. At first, you're making the pilot, and your focus is entirely on the pilot, and you don't really think too far ahead. And then once you get picked up, then I think, oh, okay, we got a 13-episode arc, and now we got a 22-episode arc, and so you develop things in accordance. But I was given a very sort of broad outline of what was the backstory of this character and where it might lead. I fill in some of the details on my own as well, and then we do have a slow evolution process by which every character is developed from episode to episode, and sometimes there are little twists and turns that even surprise us as the actors. But for the most part, we kind of know the general trajectory, and David and Jim are very open as well to suggestions and ideas, and sometimes I throw things back to them, and there's a nice sort of symbiotic relationship, but it is evolving from episode to episode.
Yeah, and actually in the latest episode, Lonely Hearts, we saw probably the most interesting aspect of your character to date, when another Reaper comes into town looking for Nick. And you show up in his motel, and you're telling him to pay respect, and you end up chopping his ear off. What was your reaction when you read that script?
I was thrilled. I thought this was exactly the kind of stuff that the character needed. It needed to get his hands dirty a little bit for that particular episode, because we need to see him in a different sort of light, not just somebody who's able to give orders, but somebody who's able to execute a little brutality on his own. So I was very pleased. I look forward to more of those situations, and there are a few that are going to arise in later episodes.
Yeah, and we actually heard that Grimm ended up getting a full season order, which congratulations on that. Mm-hmm. That's great for you.
Thank
guys.
You.
Now, do you draw any parallels between your character, Captain Renard in Grimm, and the character that you played, Sam Adama, in Caprica, in that you kind of have two sides of the character? You have the one that goes against the law, but you also have the side where he protects his family and protects his own in a way.
I guess both characters could be perceived in a similar fashion, although they're very different. I mean, Sam was someone who had a very selfless kind of agenda. He believed what he believed in a certain world order, as does every character. but he was out to protect his community and his family, and he was able, you know, he was willing to sacrifice himself for the betterment of the people he loved and believed in, the things he believed in. Renard is very self-serving. He believes in a very particular world order as well, with him very much at the top of that food chain. So he's, when you asked me earlier, you know, is he protecting the Grim? Is he a good guy, bad guy? He's his own guy. He's self-serving. And at the for the time, the Grim plays a certain role in his agenda. And as long as he does, he'll protect them. And we'll discover what that agenda is. But so they're very different characters. I wouldn't, you know, I think in some ways Sam comes across far more benevolent than Renard does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as we move further into new episodes, we actually have two this week. We have one tonight and one tomorrow. What was your favorite fairy tale that has been told so far? Is it something we've already seen, or is it what we have yet to come?
It keeps changing. I loved Lonely Hearts. When I first read that one, I thought it was quite dark, and there were a lot of great arcs for all the characters. It seemed to converge. You could really see in that episode, like, everybody's stories kind of cross paths at some point, and I always enjoy that. But we are filming an episode right now, which I think is fantastic, maybe our best yet. So it excites me very much that we keep getting better and better and more exciting episodes week after week. So to be honest with you, I'm sure it's only going to get better from here because that's kind of been the trajectory of the show.
For when the characters are switching between, you know, their human form and their monster face, if you will, whether it's the blue bloods, do they actually wear prosthetics that you can see, or is it all CGI?
When it's prosthetics and you as a viewer see prosthetics, then that's the case. When it's CGI, that's the same thing we see, or rather we just see the actor with little specks on his face with the CG artists.
Right.
But yeah, the only time. Whenever you see prosthetics, that's when we see them.
Okay, so you guys do actually get to see some prosthetics on the characters sometimes.
Yeah. It's a mix of the two. And, I love the prosthetics. It's a little time-consuming. It's difficult sometimes to incorporate, especially, you know, on a tight episodic schedule because it takes 3 to 4 hours, at the very least, to get a proper prosthetic mask on. But when it's done, I think it's always great. Looks great. You're going to see some really good prosthetics that coming up, I think, on Friday, is it? Yeah, with the pigs and the wolves, it's going to be really nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know we've got a dual episode this week. We've got one tonight and one tomorrow. Now, your background, you have a background from Guilford School of Acting and a lot of theater performance. How has your education helped you in your TV and movie roles? And do you prefer theater versus television?
I just prefer really good projects with really good people. Ultimately, you know, the overriding factor is quality projects and quality individuals. Working in this business, whether it's theater, television, or film, is really all-consuming, and your coworkers and your castmates and they become your family and they become your, you know, everything, a big part of your life. So if you're fortunate enough, as we are in this particular case, to be surrounded by people you care about and respect and have a good working relationship and a good personal relationship with, then that's really the greatest blessing. But to be more specific, it's very different. Different mediums sort of fulfill different roles and pleasures. And I still love theater very much, although it's been a little while since I've performed on stage, because it's a very different process. It's a very private, personal process where it's really just the actors playing with the director. And sometimes you just need that. It's nice to just have 4, 5, 6, 10 people working at the most, as opposed to 200 people working, you know, so
right.
There's something very, very intimate and special about the theater and the process of theater that I always enjoy and I hope to continue to do.
Great. Great, great. And one
Yeah,
last question for you on Lonely Hearts. How long did it take you to learn French?
It took me about 20-something years because I'm from Montreal, so I lived there and I lived in French. I didn't live in French, but I lived in very French. You know, Montreal's a French-speaking town, and so
Right.
I kind of grew up all around it my whole life. And so, although it's not my primary language, I'm quite comfortable in it.
Yeah, you did a really nice job on it.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I get to do a little bit more French and a little bit of Russian, and we'll throw in a few of the languages that I speak into the show, which is always fun for viewers, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is very, very fun. Well, I
Yeah.
think that was all the questions I had for you, Sasha. I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to talk to us. And
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
you're welcome. And we look forward to seeing an episode tonight of Grimm, and we have another one tomorrow as well.
Thank you so much.
All
So
right,
just
thanks.
thanks for supporting us as well. Take
Oh,
care.
definitely. And I will tweet you later once I have the article posted. Thank you so much, Sasha.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.